We're sitting here just before the opening night performance of the world premiere of The Complete History of Comedy Abridged here at Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park. And I'm talking with our stage manager, Jennifer Morrow, who has worked here at the Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park since the early 1900s. You've been here a very long time, and you've worked our shows before. What's your prediction? This is the pregame analysis. How do we think it's going to go tonight?
I think it's going to be a huge hit. I think the audience is going to laugh. They're going to cry. They're going to stand on their feet.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 363, Comedy Opening Weekend. After 8 months of writing, including 3 months of rehearsing and workshopping, and a week of tech rehearsals and 5 preview performances, the world premiere of our 9th stage show, The Complete History of Comedy Abridged, finally opened last Thursday night, November 14th, 2013, at the Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park. I kept the microphone running before and after the show that night and talked with a bunch of people here at the Playhouse who have been invaluable in making this happen. First of all, I continued my conversation with our stage manager, Jennifer Morrow. Well, the buzz has been really great out in the lobby with this show. Last night at our final preview, it was one of those preview audiences, I guess kind of a typical Cincinnati audience where they're kind of on the, let's say, old side, and yes, a little conservative in the sense of, I don't know what the politics are, but in the sense of not being very demonstrative with their big laughter.
That's definitely true of Cincinnati audiences.
And some of them have faces like, oh dear, that person looks like he's not having very much fun at all. And yet we went out to the lobby, and at least 3 different people last night said a variation to me of the sentiment, man went up to a guy and saw that he didn't have a smile, so they gave him one of his smiles. You know, there's just a lot of laughter being buzzed around. And so
that's lovely.
The people in the lobby are really, really talking nicely about the show.
Yes, I believe that. And just like you said, the one gentleman that I looked at early on in the show yesterday, and I said, oh, he's a little bit of a grump. He's not going to laugh at this show. About 5 minutes into the show, he put on a pair of Groucho glasses and wore them the entire rest of the evening.
Yes, he did. I love an audience that's participating along, particularly that guy who looked like one of the guys from Duck Dynasty.
He actually did, yes.
All right. Well, I will, Jennifer, I will get back to you after the show to see how accurate your prediction was.
Julie, our wardrobe mistress, goddess, from
you've been with us, I think, working with us backstage here at the Playhouse for every time we've been here, right?
Yeah, I've been here for like 30 years, and I've done 5 of your shows.
Oh, my. 30 years you've been here at the Playhouse?
Yeah, 29, 30, give or take. They all blend together, but yeah.
So you like this place. The place is okay for you.
It's awesome, and they keep having you guys back, which is why,
So they have exquisite taste?
They do.
How are we compared to other actors, real actors? Do you know what I mean? You don't have to tell stories. I don't want to tell stories to get in trouble. But
no, what's fun about working with you guys is it's always different, and it's always like kind of seat of your pants.
Yeah.
Which is like it keeps you on your toes. It keeps you young. You know what I'm saying?
It's true.
It is.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's good. Well, thank you. You're so good back here. You're way too good for us because you...
No, it's too good for you.
No. You're way too good to us in the sense that you give us more help backstage than we're used to in most theaters.
That's what I heard, yeah.
Yeah, so when we play a one-night stand or in a university or someplace, we don't have time to train those people what to do.
Yeah, and you guys are on your own.
Yeah, we're just on our own.
Do that.
So we have to unlearn all the good things that you do so we can do it by ourselves.
Well, I love you guys with the piles of costumes. Mm-hmm. It's like...
Yep.
Start from the top, go to the bottom, there you go.
It's true.
Yep.
We've got great piles.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll just leave it at that, okay,
yes,
Austin?
Yes, we will.
That would be awesome.
Thank you, Julie.
Greatness of light.
Deb Hildebrandt has been the prop goddess here for how long at the Playhouse?
28, 29 years.
Oh, my gosh, almost as long as Julie?
1 year less.
1 year less. Again, you guys are so good to us backstage.
Nah.
We have to unlearn all the things that you tell us, all the things you do for us, because we don't get the kind of help that we get in other theaters that we get from you guys, because you guys are great.
Well, that keeps you coming back, right? Because you love us.
It's true. Well, it keeps us coming back, and honestly, we'd come back anyway. But but how are we? How did it go tonight for you, opening night?
I was in balloon hell, but other than that, okay.
What does that mean, balloon hell?
My balloon kept leaking.
And that's not a euphemism, ladies and gentlemen. As I mentioned, we have a bit about helium in the second act. And one of the balloons kept leaking, but they were both great when they came out on stage. Well, how'd you solve it?
I had to refill it in like 30 seconds. And
oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
But it totally worked.
It worked.
Oh, my God. You're a lifesaver. And you're an excellent baby thrower. There's a bit about babies in the front of the first. You get your workout in this show.
I do.
Is this a harder show than others? I mean, not are she shows. Do you have to do this much with other real plays?
No, but there's no pineapple to clean up off the floor on this one, so I'm very happy.
We're glad we can make you happy. Thank you, Deb.
Thank you, Austin.
Can I interview you too?
My interview? I'm a nobody.
No, but Richard, you're the house manager. You're the assistant company manager. You take such good care of us, Richard Wanamaker. So how was opening night for you? Did it go well?
It went great.
I mean, you brought us some latecomers. That was always good.
We try to do that every night for you.
Yes, you do. I mean, and you didn't have any walkouts. You didn't have any complaints. This is always an issue.
No, and they love the show.
Oh, good.
They love the show.
Good. And nobody collapsed?
I didn't have anybody fall tonight, so that's a great night when nobody falls and I have to fill out an accident report.
That's good. So really, your standards are pretty low. As long as nobody falls down, we've got a good show.
We've got a perfect show.
Nice. Thank you. That went pretty well. End of show. End of world premiere. Opening night. What do you think?
The vibe, she is good, and as importantly, or more so, we feel good about it.
Yeah, you know, no, exactly right. Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel like, I mean, every show is different. It just, as shows go, I think that was really good.
Yeah, no, as opening nights go, I mean, there were moments I went, I want that one back, I want that one back, but only
that's
a few.
Every show.
No, it's true for every show. Yeah. But more importantly, there were moments that I went, yes, I think we're really figuring that out. I mean, that opening speech of the second act, as you were saying, Dom, I feel like I'm hitting a rhythm there. Mm-hmm. And part of that is knowing how this was a smart audience, too. So they got the corduroy joke.
They got Sacco and Vanzetti, for God's sake.
They got Sacco and Vanzetti.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah. We do.
I heard at least 10 people laugh at that, and that's pretty good.
That is very good. Well, and we got a.
I mean, I'm under exaggerating or whatever one says, but like, you know, there were more than people laughing at that. But that's a smart joke.
Yeah, it is a smart joke. Yeah. Well, it's a smart reference. And but I did. We do a bit with helium where we suck helium, and I sucked it a little fast tonight, so I need to be careful to not suck it so fast. Suck so fast. That's a good note for all of us.
Just in general, I think we should all suck less.
We even met a couple of the sponsors out there that I hope to talk to, who seemed genuinely delighted.
Well, board members and sponsors.
The president of the board and sponsors.
Maybe they didn't know what to expect. You never know what they think is going to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you put yourself in their shoes. It's like, well, what do they, you know, what they get a little buzz, but they don't really know.
Yeah, we're sponsoring a show, and we do it because we like the theater, and it's a civic responsibility. But
they don't
know some of them tickle your fancy, and some of them don't.
They don't know what they're getting. I mean, Blake was saying that they program a wide variety of different kinds of shows, and apparently the show that preceded us here in the Shelter House was quite serious.
Yeah, and quite dark.
And quite dark, and maybe a little
and
grim.
And quite not for everyone.
And so this...
Which is not an insult to me.
Not being for everyone is not a bad thing, but that only helps us.
Yeah.
You know, if you walk in with an expectation of, oh God, oh good, it's comedy. Woo-hoo. Well, I guess it's promised right there in the title. History of comedy.
You'd hope.
Yeah, it better be funny. All right, Buzzword, you're the one whose opinion matters. You're the managing director here at Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park, and you've been here for...
22 years.
22 years, ever, basically.
Practically.
You were here with Ed Stern.
I was.
Who brought us here. You've had... You are our constant.
Exactly. It was not Ed Stern. It was really Buzzword.
Absolutely.
You have to look behind the curtain.
Absolutely.
The man behind the curtain.
So, from your important vantage point, how did tonight's opening night go?
It went great.
great.
Oh, good.
It went great. Everybody had a great time laughing till they were peeing their pants,
good.
Practically. Which
good.
Is exactly what we want. Well, not on the seats. We didn't want that. But
no, that was me in the middle of the,
yes,
of the
well,
sketch.
Of course it was. Of course it was. But no, it could not have gone better. And we're looking forward to having everybody come and see it.
That's
all the way through the end of December.
Yes.
So buy
yes.
your tickets now.
And please and please buy your tickets now, because if you buy enough tickets now, we might extend into January. This is the message we have to get
that's
out.
That's right. That's
so
right.
Tell both your friends,
buy
everybody.
Buy now.
Yes.
And buy often.
Yes, right.
It's like voting in Chicago.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Well done, Buzz. Thank you for having us back.
Always a pleasure.
Krista Skiles, you're another person who has been here at the Cincinnati Playhouse for eons. There's not a lot of turnover here. This is, I think that's tells me that this is a great place to work. Am I right?
It is a great place to work.
And nobody leaves. Well, Ed Stern left, but it was...
Yeah. Or they leave and come back, which is actually what I have done. This is the third time I've worked at the Playhouse.
Really? They keep having you back. They keep having us back.
Something like that. I don't know. Maybe I've got them all fooled.
What is your title?
Associate Director of Marketing and Communications.
How, from your vantage point, how do you think opening night went?
I think it went great. We had a really, really excited crowd, and the improv scene, our improvisers were amazing.
They were tonight. They were really good.
Very happy. We need to have him here every night. No more improv. We're going to plan it from now on.
I think all the best improvs are completely planned.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We were talking. It did not feel like an opening night crowd. Tonight. How do you manage to get that, pull that off?
We pay them very well. Very, very well.
Yeah. No,
I agree. It was a very, opening night crowds tend to be a little more sedate. This was a very, they were very into the show all the time. Very vocal.
Well, they seem to be. I mean, it's always, you have to go slowly with a new audience, with a new show, and kind of get them on your side before you really go crazy. But they seem to be on our side from the get-go.
I think so, too. I mean, as soon as you started mocking their fellow audience members, then they felt safer.
Yes.
They knew you had honed in on someone, and
right.
that makes them relax a little.
Well, that's the beauty of the latecomers.
Right.
And those two ladies. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we paid them well, too.
Do you know them? Because I was just talking to them.
They are subscribers, I believe.
Okay, they're subscribers. They were awesome.
They were
awesome. Jennifer, I told you, I said I would get back to you. How do you think it went?
It was a big hit. I knew it would be.
You were so right. You were so right.
This is Christopher Moore, the author of Fool and the Serpent of Venice, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Our UK tour of the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged, Revised, is taking a two-week break, but will return for a week to the Park Theatre in Finsbury, London, for the first week of December. Also in 2 weeks, we'll begin four performances of the Ultimate Christmas Show, Abridged, in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, Galesburg, Illinois, and Reston, Virginia. And, of course, we'll be performing the complete history of comedy, Abridged, 8 times a week at Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park until December 29th, unless, as Buzz Ward said, you buy enough tickets to make the Playhouse extend its run. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. The other thing we did on this opening weekend was an audience talk back after yesterday's matinee. The first question we got was about taking shows back and forth across the pond.
When we write the shows, we keep it in the back of our mind that we will ultimately take it over there. Like the original draft of the song, I Laughed Till I Cried, had a lot more British references in it, but we took those out for, you know, American audiences. But generally, they laugh.
It depends on the show.
Yeah.
Most of the, because our style is, I think, we think of it as vaudevillian. So it's smart, it's stupid, it's physical, and they sort of come fast and furious. So they don't always laugh in exactly the same places.
Or as loudly.
Yeah. Yes, they smile uproariously.
Right.
But they love, I mean, we're much more well known over there. What Jerry Lewis is to France, we are to England.
Yes.
Old, angry, and bloated.
Yes, right.
But then other things we tweak. I mean, certain shows, our History of America, we had to explain, you know, well, who are Lewis and Clark, for instance? You have to explain that. Or the sports show probably took the most
tweaking because of the American interest in hockey and basketball and football and baseball, which they're aware of, but it's not their thing. So that one we had to adjust, whereas Shakespeare, you know, or all the great books, it's pretty universal.
And we haven't taken the Christmas show over there yet. So we'll see. But the Christmas show ends in the way that this ends with Rambozo. The Christmas show ends with our version of a British panto, which is a very specific kind of a style thing. So we hope, fingers crossed, it'll play over there. How do we create the new shows?
We'll maybe do a rough outline of things we might want to cover. And Austin will say, you know, well, I've got an idea for a song. And I'll say, well, I have an idea for Chicken Crossing the Road. And we go away and we write those. Mm-hmm. And then we come back and we read them. And often on tour, you know, after the show, late at night, we'll have some beers and we say, hey, Dom, come. And we'll, you know, we read it all. And Dom goes, and we do the same thing.
Yeah, we make the
and then sometimes I'll rewrite Austin's. Sometimes Austin will and vice versa. Or sometimes we rewrite our own. We build up a series of scenes over, you know, 6 or 9 months.
I looked it up. The very first night that we read out loud some of the early sketches from the show was 8 months ago, 2 days ago. March 15th, the Ides of March, we were in Scottsdale, Arizona after a show. We read some sketches. Chicken Crossing the Road and Vatican Joke Club, I think, are essentially unchanged from that night. And maybe one or two other couple of sentences here and there. But we learned a lot on that night, making a lot of kind of...
And some things end up, you know, you've written a whole scene and like there's two funny lines in it. Right. And it ends up being put in another scene.
Right.
Or it's just a funny line and you use it as a you know, what started as a whole scene ends up as just a transition between two scenes. It really changes. Yeah. And then you start to do it and you say, well, we have three fast scenes in a row. I think we need to slow it down. People are going to be worn out. Here's a funny but slower scene. And so you move it around. And this show, particularly in the first act, we sort of go chronologically, but not slavishly.
And Rambozo is a character or like an archetype.
When I was on the circus, you know, we do 4 shows this weekend. In the circus, you would do six three-hour shows in 2 days. And so you'd just be exhausted. And, you know, our rallying cry was, okay, guys, we're Rambozo. Get in, get the laugh, get out.
Yeah.
And so that Rambozo and that phrase goes back to when I was in the circus in 1988.
Right.
And it was just something that was sort of stuck in our head.
Yeah, but it was something I clung to. Thank you. I'm an English major. I think we can turn that into something and use it as an anchor, use it as or whatever the image is to. A clothesline on which to hang all these other different ideas. So that was fun. And it was actually that rallying cry works for us this weekend. So this is our 4th of our 5 shows in 48 hours. From Friday night at 8, or 49 hours. From Friday night at 8 till Sunday night at 9, we do 5 shows.
Acting isn't hard or anything, but that you tired by the time you get to, especially this show, by the time you get to Sunday. Yeah. I don't like to complain too much as an actor, but I'm ready for Monday.
I'm sometimes up to 2 hours a day.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, take that, substitute teachers.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Well, it turns out Jennifer was right. We opened Thursday night, and the major reviews came out Friday morning. The Cincinnati Enquirer said The Complete History of Comedy Abridged is funny. Really, really funny, and most of all, it's really, really smart. And the alternative weekly, the Cincinnati City Beat, called The Complete History of Comedy Abridged a dizzying night's entertainment, the work of some serious minds exploring the art of comedy. Well, hopefully these reviews plus the word of mouth will translate into ticket sales. But after all these months of work, the reviews and the audience response is enormously gratifying. Send us your thoughts via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. I've already met several podcast listeners here in Cincinnati. Please, please send me an email so I can remember the names of the folks I've met. David, Janet, I'm talking to you. Those other two, you know who you are. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans on our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You could also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, semi-retired professional fool Matthew Croke, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Annie Barron. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Christopher Moore, the New York Times best-selling author of such fantastic comic novels as Fool, Practical Demon Keeping, Bite Me, Sacre Bleu, Bloodsucking Fiends, and one of my top 10 favorites and definitely a desert island book, Lamb, The Gospel According to Biff, Christ's Childhood Pal. If you're not familiar with Chris's work, then get familiar. You'll be glad you did. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 363/1089 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for playing along. That was great. We'll see you back here at 7 o'clock.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less.